Welcome to this virtual service at Castfields Church. Whether you are one of our regulars or you found us on the internet, it is a joy to have you listening in with us all. Shall we start our service tonight in prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this evening. And we rejoice and thank you and praise you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, all of us are sinners. We have all broken your law. If someone else was able to look back at our week, at the past month, we know that there are things there that we would be ashamed of, things that we've said, things that we've done, things that we've thought. Lord, we confess that we all need a Saviour. When we compare our lives to your holy law, we know that we fall short. Father, we cannot come in our own so-called righteousness before you. You are a holy God, a just God, a good God, and you cannot abide sin, that which falls short of your standard, your calling upon our lives as our Creator. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have so loved your people. You have so loved this world that you have given your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. He came into this world and lived the perfect life that we could not live and died for our sin so that we could be made right before you, clothed in his righteousness. So, Lord, we come tonight not in our own goodness, if we had any at all, but we come before you tonight in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're accepted before you only in him, and we praise and thank you, therefore, for this gift of our Saviour, a gift we do not deserve, but a gift from you. Lord, we thank you that through him you hear our prayers. Through him, our praise to you is made acceptable. And through him, we have a hope that is sure and certain, a hope of heaven, a hope of eternal life, but also an assurance that you will finish the work you have begun in us, that you are working in us even today. So, Lord, we pray for us all. Some of us would have come from very stressful weeks. Some of us would have come from very bad weeks where we really struggled and we failed you in so many ways. Some of us are feeling weary with how our lives have been recently. Some of us feel far away from you. Lord, we know that these things are not right. They should not be. But we are here. And we're here because we want to worship you for your love and grace to us, and we're here because we need to hear from you, to be reminded of your truth, so that we can leave rejoicing. Lord, we pray that you be with us. Cleanse us of all our sin. Cleanse our consciences and our hearts. Help us to know that we are forgiven, that we are loved by you, that through the finished work of Christ alone, we are accepted before you. And Lord, may we go into this new week rejoicing in our Saviour. Lord, we pray all these things that your name might be honoured and glorified. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn now. So this hymn is actually available on the church website. If you go to the news and articles section on the front page, you'll find a post about today's services, and on there you'll be able to access the songs, the hymns for this evening. We're going to sing one called Who Has Held the Oceans in His Hands. So maybe you want to pause the recording here and either read through that song or sing it together and then come back to this recording. Well, the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to read Colossians, the book of Colossians, and we're going to read the whole of chapter 1. Colossians, and the first chapter all the way through. Let's read God's word together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. In a few moments' time, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses from that reading. We're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. We will be going back through other parts of the passage as well, but that's really where we're going to be focusing on, verses 19 and 20 of Colossians 1. So I do hope that you will have your Bible ready to read with me and to study with me the Word of God. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you that we can come before you and cast our cares at your feet. Father, we thank you that you are concerned about your people, and you want to hear from us. You want us to pray to you. You want us to lay our burdens and our concerns with you. Father, we know that right now in this country and in other places too, there is a great upheaval and there is much suffering and fear. And we see in the news the uptick in numbers of COVID cases in this country. And we know that the same problem is going on abroad in other places. Father, first and foremost, we want to particularly pray for your people all around this world. Father, you know each and every one of your people. You love them more than we ever could. You gave your Son that they might be made your people. Father, we pray for those in countries where they are suffering persecution. They are suffering greatly for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because they love him and will not deny him. Many of your people are suffering loss of possessions, loss of loved ones, rejection and hatred, and loss of jobs, and even sometimes loss of their freedom and loss of their lives. And Lord, right now with COVID as well, there is an added element of suffering in many places. Father, we pray that you be with your people, that you would bless them, you'd give them your peace, you'd give them your courage, you'd give them your joy to stand firm for you. Thank you, Lord, that this world is not our home, is not where we belong. We have a great hope that one day this world will be made perfect, that all sin and suffering will be done away with, and we will live with our Lord. And no matter what suffering we may go through, it will not be worth comparing to the great weight of the glory that is to come. Lord, thank you for that. So Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in places like China and India and Africa, Nigeria and Kenya, etc., where they are suffering for your name and they are struggling with the complications of COVID right now. Please be with them. Lord, we pray for ourselves here in the UK. We thank you that we have a greater freedom to meet together, to worship you. Although we can't meet physically right now, we can still put these things online and people can listen to them. Lord, we pray that you would give your people wisdom as to what to do about going back to a meeting together physically. Lord, we know that that is the best thing. That is the way that you want your church to be. And we know that meeting online in a virtual way really isn't the same. Lord, we know that it has to happen for this time, but Lord, give us wisdom to know when is the time to start moving back, Lord, and how to do that. Lord, we want to be good citizens of this country. We want to show love to our neighbours, yes, but most importantly, we want to serve you. We want to obey you. So Lord, please help us and give us wisdom. Give this church wisdom to know what to do. Go before us, open the right doors and lead us on. We pray for your people around this country. Give them wisdom. Lord, we do pray for your mercy on this nation. We know that our country is a place where your law, your word, and your gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been by and large rejected. And now there is a huge ignorance of what your word says and of what the gospel proclaims. Father, please have mercy on our nation. Lord, help our leaders to know what to do at this time of crisis. Help them to work together. But Lord, may they call on you. May they recognize that you are the one who is in control of all things. May they humble themselves before you. And Lord, have mercy on this nation. Lord, we pray that there will be a great turning back to you. Lord, we pray that you would bless your people, that your face would shine upon us, that we would become more like Jesus Christ, more the light on the hill that you have called us to be. Lord, cleanse us, make us better Christians. Continue that work that you have begun in us. Lord, help us to more rightly and truthfully proclaim the gospel to this land. Help us, Lord, to bear testimony to the truth of that gospel by right living, by holy living, by following the Lord Jesus Christ more closely. Father, we pray, save many in this land. Have mercy upon us. Father, we pray for those who are struggling in our midst, in this church, Lord. We know that there are some who are worn out because of work. They're having to work a lot longer hours, and they're tired. It's gone on for a long time. Some are struggling with having to work from home and balancing home life and work. Some are bearing concerns about sickness and suffering and are having to go to the hospital for tests, even at this time of COVID when that complicates things so much. Lord, we pray, have mercy, help us, sustain us, and help us to trust in you. Lord, do great things in our midst. Give us peace. Give us joy as we trust and obey you. Joy that is based on the promises of your word. Help us to hold fast to it, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for this evening. We pray that you would bless us as we come to your word, that you would speak into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Apply your word to our hearts. Help this one to be right in opening up and dividing the word of truth. Lord, help this one to be faithful to your truth. And Lord, may you bless your word to us now. Lord, we need to hear from you. We long to hear your truth. Lord, work by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you can turn back to Colossians 1. And as I say, we're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20 of Colossians 1. So if you have your Bibles open to there. The message tonight is entitled, The Fullness of God in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God in Jesus Christ. Suppose lockdown had ended and you were weary. You went to church one day and maybe you had been struggling as a Christian. And you open up to your friend at church, maybe after the service or after the midweek meeting, and you explain to them how you're struggling, how God seems to be very far away from you right now, or maybe how you're struggling with sin and you don't seem to be making progress the way that you wish you could. And imagine that your friend turns to you and says, well, you know, you're missing out. Christ isn't everything, you know. There is more than the gospel in Jesus Christ. There is a higher kind of Christianity. I've been learning about it recently, that there is more that we need to be really a complete Christian, the full Christian. Maybe you're surprised by that. I wonder how you would respond. Maybe we can imagine them going on and saying something like, you know, my friend has had these amazing visions. And he's spoken with angels. He's seen something of heaven and he's learned all these amazing things. And, you know, I've been starting to apply to myself some of the laws in the Old Testament, some of those extra laws in the Old Testament that the Jews used to follow. I've been looking at those and I've been finding that by really making myself follow them, not eating certain things or treating some days as special, etc., I've been finding that I've felt so much joy and peace in my heart. I felt so much closer to God. Isn't that a good thing? These are things that you need to experience as well. That, I'm sure, would sound very strange to many of us. And alarm bells might go off in our minds at that point. But what if we were really down? What if we were really struggling as a Christian and someone came along to us and said, there's something else. There's something that you're missing out on. There's something that could make you a complete Christian beyond the gospel. There's some extra biblical, something outside of the Bible, revelation, that you can have some sort of mysterious knowledge which can come through visions, etc. And you need to work harder. Obedience to the gospel and the outworkings of the gospel is one thing, but there's actually other things that the Bible teaches that we need to incorporate into our lives, even the Old Testament laws. Yes, Christ came and he fulfilled the law and the prophets, but we kind of feel that by keeping them, we become better, more full Christians. You know, when you are feeling low and when you are struggling, the idea of finding a way to be a complete Christian, a full Christian, could be very tempting, couldn't it? Now, all of that is completely wrong. It's completely against what the Bible proclaims about the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way to God. But that was what was going on in the church at Colossae. This little town had a church. It seems that it had been started by a man called Epaphras. And in that church, people had come along and they'd started saying some of these things that really, Christ is good and all well and good, really, but there's more to Christianity than just Christ and the Bible and the gospel. There's a higher kind of Christianity, a full-orbed kind of Christianity. And if you just stick to the gospel and you just stick to the Bible, then you're missing out on the complete Christian experience. This is wrong completely, again, as I say. And Paul was very concerned when he heard about this, and that's why he writes to this church in this little town to warn them that this is wrong and to show them what they should be doing instead, to know the fullness of God. And so he begins his argument in chapter 1, calling them back to the gospel. And in verses 19 and 20, we have something of that argument. And it's interesting, the first thing that he says to them, the first point that Paul makes to the Colossian church is simply this, and this is my first heading for tonight. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now, if you were to read through the rest of the book of Colossians, you would find the word fullness comes again and again. It seems that these false teachers who are bringing this false teaching were saying that to be a full Christian, you need something beyond Christ. And so Paul's argument really is that no, all fullness is in Christ. What does that mean? What does the word fullness mean? Well, obviously, if we look at the word fullness, it means to be full. It means that nothing more can be added to something. Everything is there. Everything is there that could be there. And in the context of this letter, when we read through the rest of Colossians, we find really that Paul's definition of what it is to have the fullness, he's referring to all righteousness, wisdom, power, and every blessing. And he's saying that is in Christ, that is found in Christ. Another way of saying that is simply this, that Christ Jesus is God. That Christ Jesus is God. Well, we can see that from the rest of Scripture. If you were to go to many other places in the Bible, you would find that Jesus himself, in fact, claims to be God. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." He uses the ancient name for God and refers to himself. Paul in Romans 9 verse 5 tells us that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. And John, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 again says that Jesus Christ is God. We could go to many, many places in the Bible and we know that is true. And we could go and look through the rest of the book of Colossians, and we would find that again, Paul makes the case and says again and again that Jesus Christ is God. If you want to flick just briefly over the page, maybe to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, you'll see this. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. He's saying there that Jesus Christ is God, and he's really repeating what he said in Colossians 1 verse 19 that we're looking at tonight, that the fullness of God dwells in Jesus Christ. So we could look at the rest of Scripture, we could look at the rest of Colossians, but we can prove it from just a few of the verses that have preceded verse 19. Notice that little word in verse 19, for, that begins that sentence, F-O-R, for. That means that there's a connection. This verse is connected to what came before. And if we are to look at what came before in verses 15 to 18, we would see that Paul is making a very strong case that Jesus Christ is God. What does he say about Christ in verses 15 to 18? Well, first of all, he says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15 at the start there. What he's saying is that if you want to know what God who is spirit, is like, how he feels about things, what he says about things, how he behaves, then you need to look at Jesus Christ, because he shows us what God is like. Secondly, he says that this Jesus is above all things. Notice that in verse 15, it says at the end there, it says, the firstborn over all creation. Now, Paul is not saying, and we know this from looking at the rest of his writings in the New Testament, he's not saying that Jesus is a created being. He's using the term firstborn in terms of the status in the ancient world. The firstborn son was the one who inherited the most. He had the highest standing in the family. And so Paul is using that term to say that in everything that exists, in all the universe, Jesus Christ is first. He's number one. He's above all. He says it again in verse 17. He says, he is above all things, before all things. And he says it again in verse 18. At the end there, he says, right at the end, he says that in all things he may have the preeminence. That's big, isn't it? What Paul is saying is that of everything that is in this universe, if you think of the most amazing, vast nebula that you can see through a telescope, he's saying that Jesus Christ is bigger and better and more amazing and more important than that nebula. If you look at a sunset, again, he's saying that Jesus Christ is better than that. He's saying of all the things in your life that you hold precious to God, Jesus Christ is far more precious. He is above all things. He is first and foremost. But he's saying something else as well, something really striking. Paul says in these verses that Jesus is, that everything in this universe, rather, is about him, is about Jesus. Notice it in verse 16. All things were created through him and for him. Paul is saying that the whole purpose and point of this universe is created, heavens and earth, it's been made for Jesus. It's all about him. It is to show his glory. That's quite striking, isn't it? Because so many of us today don't really think of our lives as being all about Jesus, do we? Maybe we need to take stock of that. He goes on to say something else as well, that Jesus is the creator of everything and the sustainer of everything as well. He is the one who holds everything together, who is in control of every atom in this universe. He says it in verse 16. He says, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is the creator of everything. Now that's significant, isn't it? You know, when you make something, you own that thing, you own that idea, that concept, that object that you have created, maybe a drawing or a painting or a piece of writing, or maybe you've invented some sort of gadget or gizmo. It's yours because you made it. And Jesus Christ made this universe. That is what Paul is saying. And therefore it is his. It belongs to him. And he's saying that he's sovereign over all things, that he's holding together, he's sustaining everything in this universe. We were thinking a few weeks ago about Paul when he was preaching to some Greeks in Athens, and he says this about Jesus Christ. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. That our lives are utterly dependent moment by moment on Jesus Christ sustaining them. He goes on and says something else. He says that Jesus Christ is the creator, sustainer, and completer of his church. The idea of being the creator and sustainer, the one in charge really, as well, is found in verse 18, where it says, he is the head of the body, the church. The idea of head is that this is the one who governs and controls it, just as your brain tells your body what to do. But it's also the idea really of it, him being the one who sustains it, keeps it going. I wonder if we think about that, that no matter what we are working at in the church or being busy working together on, the only way that we're ever going to get anywhere is if we are sustained and helped by the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as the owner, as the creator of the church, the one who had the idea of the church, we don't get to do things our way. We have to look to him, the creator of it, the one who had the idea, and say, well, what do you want to happen here? And he's the completer of the church. He says he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In other words, he's the first one to rise from the dead. But all his people will one day rise from the dead to a new creation where there will be no more suffering and no more sin. He's working that in us. So just reviewing that, just really quickly. If without using the term God, we thought of someone who was the image of God, who's above everything that is, that the whole universe is all about this one, that he's the creator of everything, he is sovereign over everything, holding everything together in this universe. And he is the person who made the church, who came up with the idea of the church and keeps it together. It is his church. If we thought of someone who is like that, how will we describe someone like that in one word? Well, surely it would have to be the word God. It would have to be the word God. And that's amazing, isn't it? Because it means that the one who came to this earth to save people from their sin, to save sinners, wasn't a messenger from God, although he was. It wasn't an angel from God. But God himself came and became a man. He was truly God and truly man. That's amazing, isn't it? That he would stoop that low and be willing to come and save us himself. What does that mean for us? Well, if Jesus Christ is God, he deserves your worship. Surely if he's the creator of everything, if everything that you have comes from him, all good things, your very life itself comes from him. When we look at the world, we know there's a fallen and a broken world now. It's been cursed by God because of our sin, but there's still a remnant of beauty, and we can see around us the wisdom of God and the way he has designed things down to the tiny atoms of cells and so forth, and the way he's designed animals and human beings, the way he put the world perfectly in its position in connection to where it is with the sun and the moon and so on. We can see the amazing wisdom of God and the incredible beauty of his creation, even in a fallen world. And again, he's the one who came and saved us. And therefore, he deserves our worship, doesn't he? If anyone deserves to be worshipped and praised, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something else as well here, isn't there? If this world is about Christ, then surely we should be living for his glory. I wonder, Christian, if you are struggling, if you were weighed down, if you were being held back from growing as you should be in your Christian life, because you are loaded with bitter, disappointed might-have-beens, or you're stumbling through the weight of frustration from when-wills in your life. How to get free of that? How to get free again? You know, disappointments are a hard thing to face. And when we go through pain and suffering, it is understandable that we have sorrow of heart. But if we hold on to them, if we won't let them go, if they become master of us and keep us from growing as Christians, then it says to us that really we aren't living as we should for the glory of God, for the glory of Christ. And we need to repent, don't we? We need to repent and remember that our lives, in the final analysis, success or failure in our lives is not measured by the job that we have or the relationship that we have or how much we've enjoyed life. Ultimately, success in life is measured on this. How much did we make of Christ? How much was Christ glorified in our lives? So first of all then, Jesus Christ is truly God. Jesus is God. My second point tonight, my final point is this. We can only receive blessings from God through Jesus. We can only receive blessings from God through Jesus. Think about it. These people were saying that there are other ways of receiving messages and truth from God, blessings from God, maybe feelings and revelation and wisdom and truth, that fullness that we thought of before. There are other ways in Jesus Christ to receive that from God. And I guess what Paul is saying by underlining the fact that Jesus is God is he's saying you don't need a middleman. Why would you want someone to go between you and God when here is God himself and you can have all these things through him? That's what he's saying, that when he says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, he's not simply saying that, well, you know, all these things reside in Christ. He's trying to help us to understand and see that this is where these things, where fullness, completeness as Christians, all that wisdom, power, and bless every blessing is available to us in Christ and in Christ alone. And he gives us a prime example. He gives us a prime example in verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Paul is pointing out that the only way that we can be right with God, that we can be reconciled to God, that our sin can be dealt with, and we can become children of God and receive blessing from God, and our lives can be changed, and we can receive heaven at the end, and not God's judgment of hell, is in what Jesus Christ did in his finished work on the cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, he's talking there about the fact that Jesus suffered the wrath of God on that cross for the sin of all his people. And then he died, the final punishment for sin, taking upon himself, who was righteous, our sin and our shame, nailing it to his cross so that there's nothing left to pay. And notice that it says all things. All things. Now, what is it? It says whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now, what does that mean? Well, it does mean in an ultimate sense the whole universe, but it certainly means this. All things means everyone, every one of God's people is only reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. This is something repeated again and again in the New Testament. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter says to the Jews that there is no other name, speaking of Jesus, no other name given to men by which we must be saved. And Jesus himself says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, that is, Father God, but by me. And it's here again, it's interesting, isn't it? He says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him. Why does he say by him twice? Because he's underlining the fact that it is through Jesus Christ alone that we can be reconciled to God. So what's the application there for us today? Well, is your hope in life and death only Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in anything else? Can you truly say that? Jesus Christ is my only hope, because God says that is the only way to be reconciled to me. You know, sometimes people hesitate to trust, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put their faith in him, to come to him for salvation, because they say, well, I need to clean myself up. I need to become a better person. Or they say, well, I haven't really had some sort of special experience, some sort of feeling of God being with me, some sort of peace. Some people think, well, I don't feel much guilt over my sin yet. Maybe I need to hold back until I feel more sorrow over my sin. Some people think, well, I'm okay. I already know all the Bible has to say, what all the things that the Bible has to say about life and eternity and God. I know it. I can answer any of the theological questions you might throw at me. All these things really cannot save us, and they should not stop us coming to Jesus Christ. And if any of those things are holding you back from coming to Christ tonight, from trusting in him, then you need to repent. And you need to repent first and foremost of trusting in anything but Christ. And you need to cast all those things aside and throw yourself on him and on him alone. And you know, these things, some of them are very, very good. Those experiences, deepening repentance for sin, good works, all those things are blessings from God, but they only come to us after we have gone to Christ. So don't wait. Because if you wait for yourself to become better, you will never come at all. Another thing that we can take from these two verses is this. All needs and blessings in this life and the next come through Jesus. You can see that in verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Why doesn't he just say Jesus is God? If that's his point, if that's his main point, why doesn't he just say Jesus is God, or for Jesus is God? Well, because he wants to underline two things. He wants to underline, first of all, it pleased the Father, that God was pleased that we should go to Jesus Christ to know fullness, to know all God's blessings. That's why it says in him all the fullness should dwell, because all the fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, is fully God. The God the Father is truly God. So why is he pointing out that the Son is truly God and that all fullness dwells in him? Well, he's pointing it out because that's where God wants us to go, to know his blessings. That's where all the blessings and all the fulfillment of our needs is available to us. And it's the only place. That's why he's really emphasizing the fullness in Christ. You know, Jesus himself said that even the blessing of the Holy Spirit coming to his people comes through him, that he sent the Holy Spirit into this world. In John 15, verses 26 to 27, that's what he says. Christian, everything that you need and all truly good things can only come to you through Jesus Christ. That is how God has ordained it. Are you a weary Christian? Are you tired? Are you worn low? You feel distant from God? And you're just weary? And you need somehow the strength to carry on, to find that joy again? Are you a fallen Christian? You've spent so long playing with sin. You've wandered so far away from God. You're still trusting in Jesus Christ, but you know that there is so much sin on your conscience that you do not feel the blessing of a cleansed conscience in the presence of God and God's smile upon you. You know you're far away from God. You know, when we're like that, there's a tendency, isn't there, for us to try other things, to go and try and find something in the world that will satisfy us, that will make us happy. Paul is saying you won't find it anywhere else. There isn't anywhere else where you can find that fullness, that completion, any blessing, real blessing. Maybe you're a Christian who yearns to grow. You're walking with God. You're walking close to him, but you want to know him more. You want to know more of God's truth. Where should you go? Well, Paul says the only place where you will find what you were looking for is in Christ. In the rest of his letter, he says, really, look to the word of God, Christ's word, the Bible. Look to the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, this one who is God. And look to his finished work, his living, his dying, his resurrecting work, and the work that he's promised to come and do when he comes again and restores all things. Look to that. This is what Paul said later on as well. And in the rest of the letter, he goes on to explain, because, you know, we can say, well, look to Christ. But how do we look to Christ? How do we live in Christ? How do we abide in Christ and know these blessings? Well, we haven't time to go into detail, but just to summarize then, in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul says this: as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. In other words, what Paul is saying is simply this, that the way that you received Christ to begin with, when you were first saved, that's how you need to continue to grow in him, that kind of faith, that kind of desire for his word, and that kind of obedience. You need to carry on the way that you started. The Christian life is a life of faith. The Christian life is a life of repentance and trust in Christ. Well, what does that mean? What are the details? Well, again, we haven't got time to go through it, but Paul does open it up for us in the rest of this letter and in the rest of the New Testament, you see. He tells us that we have to obey his revealed will. Chapter 3, verses 12 to chapter 4, verses 1. Obey the revealed will of Christ found in his word. Kill whatever he calls sin, whatever Christ says is sin, whatever displeases God, kill it, deal with it. By God's help, ask him to help you. Chapter 3, verses 5 to 12 deals with that, if you want to go and read it. Paul says, live in Christ's word, live in the word of God. Whether that's through memorizing the Bible, whether that's through reading the Bible, studying, making notes, spend as much time as you can dwelling on God's truth, dwelling on God's word, seeing what it says about God and what it means for your life. Meditate, live, dwell in the word of God. Be faithful in prayer. If Jesus Christ has done everything that's necessary for you to know the blessings of God and to be reconciled to God, then the way is open for you to pray. And in everything that you do, you need God's help. So be real with God. Keep praying and be real with him about where you're at and how you need him. And do everything for his glory out of gratitude. That's key, isn't it? We're not doing whatever we do because we're trying to earn God's favor. That's what really ended up happening with these people at Colossae, these Colossians. We're not doing it to earn God's favor. We're doing it out of gratitude because of everything that God has already done for us in Christ. And if he has done all this for us in Christ, if he has saved us, if he has given us a hope of glory and all those blessings that we can know in Christ, then we should want to live for him. We should want to make our lives about him. To wrap up then, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been pleased to ordain that the only way that we can find true blessing and fulfillment for all our needs in this life and the next is through God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his person and finished work of redemption. We can only come to him through him. We can only come to God through him. Christ's word, the Bible, his person and his work is all you need to be a complete, a full Christian. You don't need anything else, and there isn't anything else. There is no other place that you can go. So can you truthfully say, on Christ alone I stand? And if you can, are you living for him? Before we close our service tonight, there is another hymn for us to sing, another song of praise and worship to God. If you want to go to the church website again, pause this recording. You will find in the notes and articles section this hymn as well. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's sing that together now. If you want to pause this recording and come back when you've finished. Oh, Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we could have more time to think about him and what he has done and how kind and loving he has been to us. But Lord, may you bless these things to us all, and may we see that he is what we need and he alone. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.